Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're meditating today on more verses from Hebrews. This is chapter 4. We have before us verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, namely Jesus, the Son of God, let us continue to hold on to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, my dear fellow heirs of the grace and mercy of God, fellow stewards of God's grace, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. That's what Jesus' disciples asked him. And maybe you've wished sometimes that you could ask the Lord to teach me to pray more like your disciples did. Coming into the presence of God, you know, that's a big deal. Coming to talk to the Almighty God who sees all, knows all, right to the depths of your heart, everything you've ever said or done or thought or felt, he knows. Even what's coming, he knows. So if you think it would be scary to come into the presence of the president or somebody like that, sit one-on-one, whoa, God? Remember Adam and Eve in the garden trying to hide from God because they felt his holiness now that they had broken his command? What does God do? He comes looking for them, not to crush and destroy, but to call them back. He wants them at his side in that fellowship in which he created them, and so he shows them their sin, and then he gives that first gospel promise and keeps reminding the people all through the ancient times with one prophet after another, don't forget, I promised you a Savior. And then he delivers. He delivers so that all of this can come together in your heart and mine, and you and I can approach the throne of God not as terror, but as grace. You come in confidence for prayer. You want to notice today how richly this confidence is deserved. He says, therefore. So whenever you see therefore in Scripture, what's the question you ask? What's it therefore? One of the professors at SEM loves to say that. You look back, and as you look at these preachers, like the preacher whose sermons are recorded in Hebrews here, it's one therefore after another. I just got to tell you, Paul loves to do that too. But he's been showing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to these Jews who are tempted to go back to their cultural Judaism because it's hard to be a Christian. Fellow Jews don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. You do. So it's hard. He's trying to show them, don't go back, don't leave Jesus, the perfect Messiah, the Holy One, because he is the one who fulfilled all, and he is the very high priest that you need, the mediator between God and men. So he's showing that rest is coming, and since the rest is coming, he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience from our forefathers. He wants to bring you into the rest. Therefore, The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That rattles me to the core. Nothing is hidden from God. My heart, your heart, our lives, it's all there. You see why God, in His mercy, gave them high priests? Just thinking about it is scary. And imagine the Israelites at Mount Sinai when God came down in thunder and smoke and just terrified all the people watching this. And they begged Moses, "You go talk to him. If we have to hear this again, we'll die." The Lord says, "What they're saying is good. Moses, you come talk to me and then tell them." So Moses became the mediator. And God set up the ancient high priesthood so that there would be a mediator, a priest, who would stand between God and the people and tell the people what God was saying to them and bring their prayers to God. It was a foreshadowing of something that had to come much later. Because all those priests died. That was the problem. They were mortals like us, sinners like us. One after another, they had to be replaced by another high priest. That was a time of celebration, but there was another priest that would come and take their place, one to whom all of that was a foreshadowing. And that's why we have been taught by God's holy word to look at Jesus as our prophet, our priest, and our king. And especially today as our prophet, he says he's the one that will be the go-between us and a God. So that's where the therefore went. Here's the rest. Come into the rest. You need it because God looks right into your heart. So therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. The Greek word for hold firmly actually means power. You'd have to think of a power grip here. You've been taught to say the same thing as God. That's what the word for confess means, or profess in the King James. So when God calls something sin, and you're living in repentance before God, even if it gets really close to your heart and home, you say, "Amen, God. You call it sin. I call it sin." You don't look at other people for some wretchedness that you can find in their life to somehow make you feel better before God, because every sin is damnable and every sin needs to be punished, even if it's just some fleeting feeling of prejudice or anger or impatience or disrespect, whatever it is we owe to God and His representatives in our heart of hearts. He sees it all. So how can that not make us afraid? We confess that, but you know what? We confess it kind of like a mortgage that's already been paid off. You're confessing it like a debt that you know has already been paid. And this is why we can just be so free with our confessions. Because you know what's coming. There will be that absolution when the Lord gives you the forgiveness of sins. One of our shut-ins is in a memory unit, and this week, giving her communion, it had to be very simple. Remember how we come and confess our sins to God, and is this your confession? Yes. Remember how we receive the forgiveness from God, and just to walk her through that so that she could see. And her comment was, "Oh, I wish I'd have known that before. That's really wonderful." I said, "You've known this since you were little. But isn't it wonderful to hear it again?" The gospel is like that. It's like water in the desert that can dry up and God has to keep pouring it back in again and again. And oh, it soothes the soul to know that we have the great high priest. How would you do better than a high priest like Jesus? Think about this. Who could tell you better what's in the heart of God than God's own Son, who is God Himself? And then, to come to this sin-cursed earth and suffer wretchedness and poverty, it was real. It was so real. And Why would Jesus even want to leave the joys and privileges and glory of heaven when he didn't have to? Everything our heart yearns for, he had for all eternity, from eternity to eternity. Why would he leave that to come and suffer here all through his life? I mean, when he was a baby, he was really in danger. His stepfather Joseph and Virgin Mother Mary had to run to Egypt to get Jesus to safety. That was real. The poverty that he grew up in, the work that he did in his father's carpenter shop, the unfairness of his mother even scolding him as a 12-year-old preteen in the temple and him answering with such respect, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Then it says he went home and was subject to them. Over and over you see this again in Jesus, that in spite of the fact that he's suffering, he's never sinning. They're ready to nail him to the cross. They have scourged him to the point where experts say he was mortally wounded before he was even nailed there. Mercilessly by the Roman guards and the Jewish soldiers too. What does he say on the way out to the cross? "Father, forgive them." Say it with me. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Perfect forgiveness. Doesn't get angry. Mercy, grace poured up. God is meaning for this to be wrapped around your heart so that when you feel your sin and your shame, you're brought close to the heart of God like a little child. You take the kingdom of God like you would take a little child up in your arms and hold you close to your heart and realize that's where God has you. So perfect is our Savior, our great high priest, that hanging in the excruciating agony of the cross, he still provides for his mother and his disciple a new relationship of mother and son. How do you get a better mediator than this great high priest? And you know what's even better? He doesn't ever need to be replaced. Oh, he died. Oh, yes, he died. For you, for me, for all. But now he lives. He serves as the great high priest with the power of an indestructible life. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. We sing about it. Everything is based on that fact. Hold firmly to that, in spite of the fact that this wicked age that we live in is getting worse and worse, as Jesus predicted. And it's hard on your heart in the wee hours of the night when the anxiety and the worries come. But it says we have a high priest who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Now, we pastors proclaim this because this is what God says. But I will readily admit to you, I do not understand how this can be. I proclaim it because God's word says it. I believe it with childlike faith because of that. But how Jesus could really suffer when he was tempted, because if he fell once into sin, we would lose our salvation completely. He had to be perfect and sinless. So he could be tempted and could fall, and yet he couldn't because he's God. I don't get it. I can't explain that. I don't have to. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, your thoughts, anyone's thoughts, higher than any. And he proclaims this to us as the Lord who suffered when he was tempted because he wanted to feel what you're going through so that in the depths of your anxiety and the worst of your fears, on your worst possible day, you can be assured that Jesus is right there with you, like a father taking his daughter's head in his hands to get that focus with love and kindness. Love from God. God is love, and God is real, and our need is real. Otherwise, why would God's Son have to die? I know that many churches you could go to today would just tell you there is no hell. God would never really damn anyone. God is a God of love. He really is, but they don't realize how loving he really is. Jesus calls that place the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a forever place. And if it's not real, then why did God's Son have to die? And if sin is not all that bad, why did it take the blood of God's own Son to wash away every sin? True confession says, God, if you said it, I believe it. Don't like it. Terrifies me to the core. But I run back to the cross because you call me to come and pray with confidence, because you deserve my heart, my mind, my strength, my all. You, Lord, are fully deserving of my confidence at the throne of grace. So you come and you find a welcome from the Heavenly Father, arms wide open, like that father waiting for his prodigal son to come home. And he's the forgiving father, moved with compassion to run and welcome him home. And there at the right hand of God, since Jesus has gone through the heavens, he has ascended and rules all things for the good of his church, but he's ruling for you. And you see that there is your lawyer and the one who was appointed to be your judge. And as you've got your hands folded in prayer, think of him putting his hands around yours. And the nail prints are still there where he suffered and died for you. That's that love that just wants to grip you. So you come with confidence. Come confidently, as he says in our last verse here. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So many things that can scare us away. I mean, it can be busyness that keeps us from praying. He wants to remove our fear and our guilt. That's all gone. The anger is gone. But sometimes you just don't know what to say, and that will stop people. What am I supposed to say? Do you realize you don't even need to have words? If your mind is so far gone, or you're, let's say, in a coma, or you have Alzheimer's or some dread memory disease, and you can't remember the beginning of the sentence when you get to the end of it, how are you going to know what to pray? But this is the beauty of God's grace. In your baptism, when God adopted you into his family and made you his own, does the child have to remember what to say, mommy, daddy, and say what's wrong when the baby's an infant? No. You don't know, but God knows, your Heavenly Father. So he sends his Holy Spirit to pray for us, intercede for us, it says in Romans 8, with groans that words cannot express. So even when all you can do is groan and sigh, the dear Holy Spirit takes that as a prayer to God and brings it to the heart of God, and he knows exactly what you would want to pray for. We say, thy will be done, not because he doesn't want to give us what we desire, because he says, bring your desires to the Lord, but because he might have a better idea. Thy will be done is, Father, if you have a better idea, then do that. For your mercy's sake. I mean, you could go on with the stories, right? Maybe you've heard about that one collegiate girl that came to her father and said, I need a car next year because I'm going to be an intern, and I don't know how I'm going to get a car. And her father says, well, did you pray to your Heavenly Father? Because your earthly father doesn't have the money. No, I hadn't thought of that. She prays to her Heavenly Father. A few weeks later, a friend is standing next to her at a friend's house and says, hey, do you need a car or know anybody that needs a car? Because I have one to sell. $450 for a car that needed cleaning up, wouldn't start, fully loaded though, not in bad shape, not that many miles on it. It basically took one little fuse and not even bought at the store. It was in the boyfriend's toolbox. The car started. They ran that car for 140,000 miles or something like that, bought it for $450. Her father told her, you know, you couldn't buy four truck tires for that. Then they sold it for $1,200. Amazing. The Heavenly Father, all the wisdom and grace that he gives to you. And it says to just the right time and just the right place, just the right way. We can't always see that because sometimes it looks just dreadful. What do you say to people losing their homes out west from those wildfires or the storms in Florida? pray for them. Because you know what the Lord says to you and me about that? Watch yourself. He says, when you see disasters like that, repent or you too will perish. Those are not times to be self-righteous. Those are times to come to the Lord in repentance and thank Him for His mercy and grace and pray for His mercy on others and help whatever way you can with the resources you have. I don't understand fully. But it is the time and place that God determines. After a fire many years ago, two rangers were walking through the burned-out forest and came on a rather sickening sight, a bird standing, just charred to death, standing rigid right next to a tree. One of the forest rangers just tapped the bird with his foot, and as she fell over, a bunch of little chicks came running out from underneath her. You realize what happened? The mother knew the fire was coming and called her little chicks to herself, spread her feathers over them, and stood there in death to give life to her children. And that, my dear friends, is what the Lord Jesus has done for you. He even uses that picture in the Old Testament. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. You are protected under the wings of God's own Son, God Himself, guarding you. But don't be afraid, because He's not charred and dead now. You know that. He lives. That's the joy of it. Yes, He died. And in all that way, gave you this grace to come confidently to Him who deserves our prayers and is determined to bless us and wants us to be just as determined in our prayers too. So what do you do if you don't know the words? That's where books like this can help. Maybe some of you have an old confirmation prayer book, but this is one that has just been put out. It's by NPH, and that's the information that's Northwestern Publishing House. There's information in the worship folder today so that we can order these. And just wonderful. I was looking through it yesterday, and so many practical prayers, I mean, for athletes, for those facing temptation, prayers regarding God's promises. It says over 450. Actually, it's closer to 500 prayers in here. And when you want to pray for the government, as we ought to, instead of complaining so much, for the president, for Congress, for the governor, for the legislature, for the judges, the magistrates, when you want to pray for everybody in authority, the first responders, the teachers in the schools, the pastors in our pulpits, please pray, pray, and pray. And here you have words. This would be a great devotional to just take this and pray through it morning, evening, night, whenever you... They're not long. They're one paragraph. But beautifully and well done for husbands and wives who aren't communicating well, who maybe have spoken unkindly in arguments. Word for the husband, word for the wife. Beautifully done. Great prayers. Highly recommended. So that you can come with confidence and know what to say as managers of God's gifts. So when you hear that your congregation is falling behind in its commitments halfway through the year, the fiscal year, you can come to God and pray about that. Lord, help us. Whether or not you're able to do more, you can always pray. I always say prayers are free. Sometimes I get so many mailings and I cannot respond to all of them, but I don't ever throw one away without saying a prayer that God will somehow give what is needed in that particular ministry, even though my heart might be drawn to other ones. That's the joy of giving as God gives it to us, the grace of giving. Pray for it. Pray for it on our congregation, on our synod, on Christians everywhere. Because God can pour in more blessings that just overflow your life and then give you the wisdom and the grace to see that too. Because you know, the archaeologists dug down into the ancient ruins of the city of Pompeii that had been buried in ashes from Mount Vesuvius. Many discoveries of life back in that time because it was a quick burial. But one of the shocking figures there was a soldier, a sentry. still standing tall at his post. You realize what happened? The mountain blows up, this hot ash comes and buries the city, and the soldier stands at his post because that's where he was commanded to stand. And he was still standing centuries later when they dug down through all the ash and found his body there, petrified, kind of like petrified forest, how that happens. You and I have been called to duty in the combat zone as soldiers of the cross. We have work to do day by day with all the resources that God gives us. We need to pray. We need to be in constant prayer with our commanding officer. Because he who loves us and wants us to come in confidence to pray wants us standing tall until that last day, no matter what's coming down on us in the society in which we live. When Earth's little day is done and the dust finally settles on all of time, may God find you standing firm in your duty, standing firm in the grace that bought you, in the mercy that won your heart. Confidence in prayer. For Jesus' sake. Amen.